The angels would say to the shepherds, peace on earth and goodwill to men. And part of the message of Jesus for Mary in particular was peace in her own soul. You know, she had no peace with God until Jesus came and became the Savior to her. And, of course, the world would have no peace until Christ would come also. And so I changed the sermon from the anticipation of a tough grace of Jesus to peace of Jesus in because of just the terrible things that have been happening there in Connecticut. And I think it impacts all our hearts. But who Mary is and what Christ meant to her and who Jesus is and what Christ means to us and to people in big trouble, just for some of our thoughts from the Bible. Mary's a simple person. Okay, she's not famous. She is not wealthy. If her and Joseph were wealthy, they wouldn't be staying in the barn or out in the cave, wherever the Lord was born there. And 40 days after Jesus was born, you know, as Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to have him dedicated, they gave an offering of turtle doves. And turtle doves were an offering that only people who didn't have much were allowed to give. Other people were supposed to give a full sacrifice, but those who had almost nothing were allowed to give the turtle doves. So we get a picture of Mary and Joseph and their background in there. She's hoping to be married when she hears this message to Joseph the laborer. And God does a once and for all miracle for Mary and for all mankind, never to be repeated. The Holy Spirit comes upon Mary and conceives Jesus in her. So it's Mary and the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is conceived. He'll be 100% God and 100% man. And we need a Savior like God to come and to be among us, to be a man. What a strange, simple, and gracious way to save the world, sung last week. And look at the manger there, depicted as the folks decorated real great for the next service. How small and how helpless and omnipotence would come and be around us and grow in grace and knowledge as a man, and yet still be God. What a wonderful gift to give, salvation through the birth of a child. And Jesus is greatly honored in Gabriel's message to Mary. Okay, she is told, give him the name Jesus. And you think of all the people who will be turning to Jesus during this time of year. You know, we might think, well, people don't think of him or people aren't interested, but he's still the number one figure in history from a human point of view, and certainly in a daily point of view, he is God all the time, whether people acknowledge him or not. So give him the name Jesus. He'll have the name above all names. He'll be called the Son of God, not a Son of God, above everyone else. His reign and kingdom will never end. And all the glory that comes to Christ, even in his birth, we want to join in that and thank him with all we are. Now, when Mary hears this, she's troubled and afraid, and she's in need of mercy. She's very fragile. And God has to do the impossible for her. And Mary's like us. We have troubles way too big for us. All of humanity stops and says, what do we do with all this loss that we see and we feel? And would somebody come and give us hope and comfort? And we have fears every day. Was talking to a gal who works at a high school. She said, well, after tragedies happen, for the first time, she would hesitate going to school and think, well, you know, what's going to happen today? Because we know we're fragile people. And we're in need of mercy every day. We're broken and we're brokenhearted. And later on about Mary, she's troubled, but she trusts the Lord. It was said about Mary that a sword would pierce her soul. I just think all the sadness she would see in her life. People turning away from her son, her son being rejected by his own family at a certain time. She would hear of the many, many children being murdered by Herod, and have to live through that. And then she would see her own son be killed. You know, just the heartbreak that Mary had as a human being, the close one to Jesus. Jesus understands heartbreak. And, of course, Jesus restored to her when he rose from the dead. What a gift. And what a real hope to pray for and desire for hurting families. To say, well, you know, death and separation, as terrible and real as they are, they don't win. But we can have life with Jesus and life with our loved ones with Jesus forever. You picture some of these families who are Christian, you know, as hurting as anybody else, but saying, well, by the grace of God, I'll see my six-year-old again. I'll see my seven-year-old again, by the grace of God. This past week, I was visiting with one of the older dear ladies of the church, who knows the Bible better than most of us, and she had lost a son at one time in her life, and she said, you know, I had the thought, it's not in the Bible, but I had the thought, maybe when children go to heaven before the parents, maybe the parents get to somehow be in relationship with them, that they kind of see them grow up in heaven. And she said, oh, I don't know if that's true or not, but it was a measure of comfort that she received. But she saw God involved in her loss, and she saw God waiting with her loved one in heaven. And when great pain and evil happens, which it does, it had happened, whether we're talking about Herod, what he did, or in the news, or the death of Jesus, which is the most horrific sin and injustice ever. If you look to humanity, and even look to great Bible scholars, 2,000 years worth of Bible scholarship, you know, there's something we have to face as Christians. You know, no one has ever come up with an adequate explanation for evil and suffering. For all, and all the great Bible teachers and all the great philosophers of the world, humanity still says, we don't know. We need God's intervention. You know, and we can do certain, we can understand certain big picture things like that. Well, but Genesis 3, but that doesn't really help the broken heart. Or we could say, well, you know, the free will thing, that doesn't minister the broken heart. But there is, love can come and minister to a broken heart more than a seeking for an explanation, which is certainly, we do that as human beings. We want to know, you know, and we can all give ourselves the assignment to search Genesis through Revelation and find that explanation for suffering and evil, and God has chosen not to give it to us. But he has chosen to give us his love. He has chosen to give us his son. And in his love and in his son, we can find help for our own soul and for the soul of other people who he loves dearly. And we want to pass on his love dearly to them. It was said about Jesus, you know, surely he will carry our griefs and sorrows and even our sin problem. Isaiah 63 shows Jesus' compassion, or God's compassion, to the distressed. In all our distresses, God too was distressed, and the angel of the Lord saved them. I think maybe at the last seconds of anybody's life, including the children in Connecticut, the presence of God for them. And don't be afraid, little child. Come to me. And the angel of his presence saved them toward Christ. In great loss or trial, then, Jesus takes on our feeling of being God forsaken. That means God can be found in our loneliness and in our desperation and in our brokenness and grief and fear. And in our not knowing, God can be found. So So for the pain of the world around us, for the pain of our own souls, we could say, hey, people are not alone. Not meant to go through this alone. Go through this with God. Go through this with other people. God is with you in this great struggle against suffering and evil. And he says he wins because Jesus rose from the dead. He told everybody suffering and death are not the final word. Life is the final word. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And we could even say, I'm sure the little kids didn't even know, you know, this, but you get older and you're able to say, to live is Christ. And for us older ones, to die is gain. That's what the apostle said. Because he knew life forever with God, the reunion with him, greater than the present evil. And we can trust God. Ask him for faith. Look in his word. You know, our faith grows by hearing the word of God. By his grace and mercy, we'll find God in our lack of peace, and we'll come to know him as our peace. And we'll be able to say, Lord, if you're with me, that's what I need. And if you love me, that's what I need. And somehow God will carry people through that, and he'll carry believers through that in our past troubles, in our present heartaches that we have, in our future heartaches that may be worse, according to the Bible. You know, Jesus and his followers don't get more popular as history goes on. But Jesus' gospel still moves forward. Reminds me of the song that can even be sung. A lot of times it's sung in funerals. Victory in Jesus. There's one line that says, and then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. That's what the Lord does in these days. And I wanted to close with words of a song that's not sung often, but it's a great song of trust in God. The title is, I Must Tell Jesus. So this is what we want for our souls and for the souls of our nation. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. Might that be true for our souls as we go and share good news that Jesus is Lord? Let's pray together. Jesus, you said you're the Prince of Peace. We've experienced that in a taste, Lord. First, when we received you, peace with God through faith in Christ. How wonderful to be at peace with you. And then peace that would overcome the pain and troubles of our own soul or the heartache that is around us, an extended hand of peace or the love of Christ given to another. How strong your peace is, Lord, to be able to outlast even all the pain that's in Connecticut. And we do pray that in your faithful and strong and gentle way, you'd walk these families through this, walk us as a nation through this, walk us as your children to Christmas celebration and the peace and joy of Christ. And we know, Lord, just as a word of praise to you, because this is really the reality of it. These were your children. So when we think of hurting people, these were your children, Father in heaven, who were killed. And these were your parents that you made parents who had to say goodbye to a child. So these are your souls that you created for yourself. So would you show yourself great on their behalf, Lord, and rule the world with truth and grace, and show us the wonders of your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.